Okay, tonight I'm going to talk about dealing with insecurity. Dealing with insecurity. There's a great book, and really all what I'm going to say has come out of reading and studying a book by Pastor Paul DeYoung called Isolating Insecurity. Isolating Insecurity. In fact, I go, out of all the books that I've read, it's probably one of the best ones for a issue that I think is right up there. And it's, once you've dealt with, you know, forgiveness of sin and salvation, the next thing you're all gonna, we're all going to face is insecurity. And the thing about it is it affects all of us. I think we all think, oh, there's a whole lot of people that aren't insecure, but look, insecurity is trying to take hold over all of us. Yeah. And so tonight I just want to talk about it, because if you can recognize insecurity and deal with it, it will stop you from being isolated. Because insecurity isolates us. Yeah. Insecurity puts walls around us. It stops us achieving what God's called us to achieve. So if we can recognize it. But look, I'm going to start by reading Philippians 3. It's been my sort of main verses that I've been reading lately or thinking on. And so Philippians 3 verse 1. Furthermore, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. They're talking about Christians here. Do you know that? Those dogs. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who are served God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ, and put no confidence in the flesh. If you want to deal with insecurity, you've got to put no confidence in the flesh. Right. See, because security is about what can I put my trust in? And we put trust in ourselves, it's not secure. Yeah. We're not secure. We've got to put our confidence in Christ. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. So he's saying, hey, my pedigree was, mate, I had it all under control. But he says this is worth nothing. But for whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Right. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And right now, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us. Yeah. Lord, that Father, tonight we would see things within ourselves, Father. And Lord, you would identify them. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to then isolate that insecurity or isolate that area and deal with it. Father, that we want to do all that you've called us to do. We want to live according to your purposes, and the enemy's trying to take so many of us out through taking away our confidence. And Lord, we want to afresh this tonight for people to gain confidence in you, a fresh confidence in you. Father, I pray for revelation, Father. Lord, we all need revelation of the truth, because the truth sets us free, Father. Lord, I pray tonight even lies that people have got in their heads about themselves would be broken. Yes. And that life would flow, that Lord, we would all know who we are in you, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think all of us have got to realize that we constantly have to overcome insecurity. Yeah. The definition of insecurity is uncertainty or anxiety about oneself or lack of confidence. It's about self-doubt. Another definition that I read is the tendency to feel fearful, anxious, unsafe, apprehensive, or apprehension regarding the present or future circumstances or situations. It's up there. If you are feeling fearful or anxious, it's a sign that you've got insecurity. And look, again, all of us face things that cause us to have insecurity. And here's what happens if we don't deal with insecurity. Two things. If you don't isolate your insecurity will isolate you. If we leave insecurity untreated, it creates ongoing and increasing restriction in every aspect of who we are and what we do. See, insecurity is something in your mind where you begin to think you can't. And that becomes a barrier. It becomes a barrier in what you do and where you go, and you start to second guess yourself, and you don't stand out in confidence. It begins to erode. Look, it doesn't matter what age you are. You face insecurity. Right. It's something that comes and challenges. And the older you get, sometimes the stronger those insecurities you have to fight. You have to fight them and isolate them. The good news is that every one of us can learn how insecurity operates, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, and understand and know its voice. If you can understand that voice of insecurity and deal with it, it won't stop you doing what God's called you to do. See, I want you to take hold of all that Christ took hold of you for. Yeah. But I know that that's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. It's going to take courage for you to believe what God says about you. To reach the full potential in Christ, you must learn how to isolate insecurity before it has the opportunity to isolate you. See, what insecurity does is it makes us isolate ourselves. Because we don't feel secure, we begin to hide. There's all sorts of illustrations in the Bible, but Saul would be one. That due to the pressure, he began to isolate him. He went and hid. And we hide away from things. We hide away sometimes from our calling. We hide away from what we know we should do. And why? Because we feel insecure about ourselves. We have to master what lies within us. We ultimately live out of what is within us. What is within you is what you begin to live out of. Consider this. Any unchallenged limitation will always end up producing further restriction. Let me say that again. Any unchallenged limitation, if you put a limitation in your mind or you think there's a limitation and you don't challenge it, it becomes a restriction that stays in your life. It stops you. If you go, I can't do this. You build a restriction into your life that goes, I can't. And that restriction becomes right. A wall, and you won't break through it. Yeah. It's a thinking thing. It's this is how it isolates and hems us in. Within us are our biggest limitations and restrictions. The biggest limitations and restrictions to people here is not finances. It's not resources. It's within us. Yeah. It's our thinking. Right. It's our, oh, that's too big for me. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, let someone else do that. It's in our thinking that our biggest restrictions are.
Yeah, right.
The other day, Friday, I got invited to go wakeboarding with some of the boys. I felt a little bit old, but I thought, yeah, let's go wakeboarding. And I haven't done wakeboarding for a good 10, maybe even 15 years. And so we're out there, and we get in the boat. Boys had already done a few. Now, these are boys. There's Lee. Lee's, I think, the only one here, so the only one I can pick. Lee's really good. I've even just heard Lee. So Lee's, he's going, no. he's humble. So these guys are all doing it. I'm sort of sitting there going, watching them, thinking, man, I used to be able to do that. you know. And I, look, I've put on a few more pounds from when I used to do it in the young days. And you're watching it, and you know, and they're doing all these cool little tricks. Although they didn't do the rule that I'll tell you, the rule that I think is a good rule for life. But they're doing their bits and pieces, and they go, Alan, do you want to have a turn? Oh, no. No, I just watched today. I just want to get the thing. It goes around again, and they all have another go. Alan, do you want to have a go? Oh, look, okay, I'll give it a go. I haven't done it for a while. So do you know what's amazing? Is that you can be confident about something at another age, and you come around and you haven't done it before. You got self-doubts.
Right.
Man, am I going to be able to get up there? They're all going to laugh at me. Lee's got his camera out. He's ready to get the pastor's fall-over picture. Going, oh, what do you do? And you've got to overcome your thinking. So I got up all right, but within about a minute, my leg's just about dying. You know, that back leg, if you've ever done it. And I went across, but they were jumping the wave. I couldn't do that. Not this time. Next time though. Because here's the thing, they have this rule that every time you go out, the first time you cross the wake, you've got to do something different, something you haven't done. So you got to do a, I don't even know what they need to do. First thing for me would be just jump the wake. That'd be really exciting, because once upon a time that was easy. But here's what happens. All of us just begin to lose confidence, and you've got to have a go. You've got to break through that barrier. And it's so easy for us all to become self-conscious about the things that we do. And then what happens is you don't do it. You know, I could have got away with not doing it. The boys would have been okay. They would have maybe hassled me, I don't know. Probably not. They're too nice. But you've got to step out, because if you let your thinking go, oh, I'm too old, I'm going to have an injury. That's a big thing, you know, because injuries nowadays, they take a long time to recover from, you know. But you've got to get out, and you've got to go have a go and do something.
Yeah.
Insecurity is trying to stop you from doing those things.
Yes.
When's the last time you've done something you've never done before? Why have you not done something you've never done before? What is it that's the barrier of that?
Wow, that's good.
Ultimately, our external world is a window into and an expression of what is currently taking place inside of us.
Right.
So what's happening on the outside is a window of what's happening to us on the inside. Insecurity creates a struggle within us to find value, and we often end up formulating untruths about what we think and what we think others think of us. That's what it does. It makes us self-doubt, and then it begins to make us think that people are thinking all sorts of things of. By doing this, we damage our self-esteem, which causes us to struggle to even accept ourselves. Because our thinking begins to take over. We all long for acceptance, and so when it appears as if we are not accepted, then we struggle from within. Now we enter a cycle of needing acceptance, feeling rejection, real or perceived. And then we go into this circle that's downward in our self-esteem. Oh, they didn't accept me. They didn't accept me, so I'm not very good. And rejection, it can take root so easily. We've become obsessed with what people think. We can't live our own life. We live the life we think everybody expects us to live. We don't live our own life. No, I better do this because someone might be watching me. That's insecurity.
Yeah.
It's going, oh, no, what everybody says, oh, man, I better change my car. I better not wear these clothes or those clothes. Because we become obsessed with what people think about us.
Yeah, that's right.
That is bondage.
Yes.
That is you not living out of who you are. That is insecurity. Yeah. There are two paths that insecurity will lead you down. The first is an inner feeling that we need to withdraw because of the way we see ourselves. That's what happens. We begin to withdraw because of the way we see ourselves. The second is the tendency to dominate situations and therefore impose ourselves with our own agenda. So here's the first step to identifying insecurity in your life. Yeah. Okay, so I've just got some signs of insecurity that I'm just going to put up here that'll help you identify. Because look, the first step in anything is to go, oh, okay, I can see it. I don't think sometimes we see the things that we're doing and connect them to our insecurity. Often we don't. So I'm going to go through, I've got 9 things. So see what you get out of nine. See how you go out of nine. Okay, so the first one is this, signs of insecurity. Insecurity fosters self-doubt. If you have inner feelings of inadequacy, you know, the whole nervousness or the whole feeling of the picking the teams at school. Does everybody remember those? We've all had those. The two best sportsy people get to stand there and they begin to pick the team. And that insecurity in yourself of going, oh, I'm going to get picked last. And just that feeling, that's a feeling that begins to self-doubt. It's one of those seeds. There's all sorts of things that have happened through our lives that cause us to self-doubt. Self-doubt grows in the dark in our thinking. It's the I can't. I might make a mistake. If I make a mistake, they'll reject me. And the self-doubt begins to well up within us that we doubt our abilities. We doubt what God's called us to do. We just doubt everything. Self-doubt keeps reminding us of what we don't have, and by focusing on the difference we are, how different we are to others, and we begin to feel that we've failed. Yeah. We begin to doubt ourselves. Negative words can create it. Yeah. Someone can just say a negative word to you, and it just rocks your world.
Right.
It just gets in your head. Oh, they're right. I'm no good. I'm useless. I'm no good. David faced self-doubt. David faced self-doubt for time. If you look at 1 Samuel 30, I'm not going to go there, but David was really struggling because he came back, he's got all his men, they'd been out doing war, and they come back and they find that basically their home has been attacked and everything has been taken. Their wife, their children, everything. Just imagine that for a minute. You drive home to your house, find it's been completely robbed, and your whole family's gone.
Right.
Yeah. David's pretty discouraged. His men are talking about stoning him. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
He had an opportunity to go, oh no, this is no good, and go into himself and go, I can't do anything about this. But his courage and his strength was to go, no, I'm not going to self-doubt. I'm going to deal with this self-doubt, and I'm going to begin to encourage myself in God. God's called me. God's called me. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people about using Joshua 1, verse 6, about saying to you, be strong and courageous. Because when you're insecure, you have no courage. And you've got to speak courage into your own self. David spoke courage into himself. Fascinating. You look at Elijah, who I would say is one of the best prophets. He was cool. He'd called fire down from heaven, and you know, they killed all the prophets. He was going well, and a lady says one thing. Oh, I'm going to kill that guy.
Right.
Jezebel says one thing, and suddenly that one word begins to make him isolate himself.
Yeah.
He runs away. It builds fear. You and I have things. People are saying things all the time. Some of them are not good things. And some of them become a record in our head.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are, you can still sometimes think of things that were said when you were 5 years old, 6 years old. And they begin to shape you, and you begin to go, well, I can't do this. Because somebody said that. Well, it's not true. It's a word that someone spoke that's not true. But if you believe it, it begins to take root, and it begins to isolate you.
Right.
Self-doubt is the voice of insecurity. If you don't deal with it, its offspring is indecision. So insecurity breeds self-doubt. The result of self-doubt is indecision. You can't make a decision. And what happens is, if you allow self-doubt to speak into your life, you become unable to make decisions about your future. So again, it stops you. Self-doubt will cause you to be indecisive. Don't look at anybody that you think is indecisive. But you've got to believe that you can make a decision. You've got to believe about your future. The second thing, insecurity blocks affirmation. If you're insecure, when someone says to you, oh, you did a real great job, you don't accept it. If it's in a marriage, one spouse might say to the other, oh, you look gorgeous. They won't accept it. Insecurity blocks out our ability to hear affirmation. If insecurity is present in your life, it will always question the affirmation we receive. You'll question it when people say, oh, you're an awesome person. Oh, no, I'm not. You're doing really good. Oh, no, I'm not. Man, you've done really well. No, I haven't. That is an insecurity. It's a sign that you can't accept that affirmation. And what is it? It's a blockage. Yeah. It's insecurity isolating you from the truth. Insecurity blocks us from receiving healthy affirmation. We need to have a revelation of how important we are to God and stop listening to lies of unworthiness. You know, because insecurity again is about thinking I'm worthless, I have no value. No, it's not true. You are valuable. You are important. You have a purpose. You have a call. You have a destiny. Yeah. God loves you. God values you. Yeah. But the enemy wants to devalue you. Yeah. He wants you to think you're useless. You're no good. Oh, I can't. It's the voice. The value from God is not based on us, but rather based on a revelation of who God is.
Right.
And that he made us. We need a revelation of value. Yes. Every one of us. So you can healthily say, man, I'm important. Why? Because God loves me.
Yeah.
Not because of who I am or what I've done, because that has no value. Paul talked about that at the start. That doesn't give you value. What your value is that God loves you.
Yeah.
Just the way you are.
Yeah.
You are valuable. We need a revelation of the value of God places on us, clearly expressed in us. And God's done it by sending Jesus. He's clearly expressed to you how valuable you are by sending his son.
Yeah.
Because he loved it. And Jesus shows he loves you and that you're valuable by dying for you.
Yeah.
You're valuable. You're important. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He loves you. He loves you.
Yeah.
And sometimes insecurity will mean we don't love ourselves. Oh, I don't love myself. Oh, I'm not that good. That's not true. The truth of the matter is God's created you and you are awesome. God does love you.
Yeah.
Insecurity, number three, justifies a lack of personal responsibility. Very quickly, if you're insecure, you won't take responsibility. You'll blame everybody else for things. Because that's the only way that you can survive. You blame others because you go, look, I'm feeling so down and so unworthy. It can't be my fault. It must be someone else's fault.
Wow.
You and I have to make a decision that we're not going to let whatever's happened, a voice, make us feel insecure. Or make us have excuses. Helen Keller, blind, deaf, and mute, had every reason to go, oh, well, I'm no good. This is what she said. She gave no room to a pity party. She once said, I am only one, but I am one. I can do anything and everything. Or in the times I think I can and then realize I can't, I know I can do something. I must not fail to do something, especially the things I can do. I just go, man, that's powerful.
Yeah.
What's our excuse?
Yeah.
What's your excuse? Yeah, and we like to blame the past, which I think is one of my ones later, so we'll come to that in a minute. So look, you can't, if you see yourself putting all your blame on somebody else and not taking personal responsibility, it's a sign that you're insecure about something.
Yeah.
We don't like it, but that's what it is. Fourth, insecurity develops in the dark room of discouragement. Discouragement has a way of helping or making our insecurity develop and grow. When you get discouraged and down, you can allow discouragement to take inside you and it begins to rule your inner world. I think Thomas would be a great illustration of the Bible, Doubting Thomas. When Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas wasn't there to see him. Why wasn't Thomas there? I think he'd been so discouraged by the fact that Jesus had died. Jesus had died, They weren't expecting that. That wasn't what they thought was going to happen. And he became very discouraged, and it caused him to withdraw himself. See, insecurity and discouragement will cause you to withdraw.
Yeah.
I want to be by myself. Right. I don't want to face people. I'm so disappointed. And it begins to eat within us. And that's what happened to Thomas. And so that even when they said to him the truth, hey, it's all right, Jesus is risen, he wouldn't believe them. It causes us to just have a dark view of things. Everything we look at becomes dark. Discouragement and lack of understanding can actually cause you to retreat into the darkness of an isolated world. And the longer we stay there, the more hopeless the situation becomes. And look, I'm sadly, I think that's what's happened to a lot of people over time. They get discouraged. They withdraw. They withdraw from church. They withdraw from being around people. And all it does is promote that insecurity. It's that insecurity that isolates.
Yeah.
We must choose to forget. We must choose to say, okay, I'm going to deal with this discouragement. I'm going to face it. Fifth, insecurity causes us to become defensive and unteachable. Have you ever met someone that's unteachable and defensive? We think, oh, they're very secure, but often it's a sign of their own insecurity. They become defensive about everything. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but a fool despises wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but expressing his own heart. Insecurity causes us to become defensive and unteachable. Are you unteachable? If you are, why? Six, insecurity keeps you subject to the past. So if you become insecure, you keep going back to the past. Past failures keep ringing around in your head. And so you go, well, I can't because, you know, I've tried before and I've failed. And it just, insecurity, the past is what tries to hold you back.
Right.
The blatant truth is insecurity focus on things that can't be changed. You can't change the past. Whatever's happened to you in the past, you can't change it now.
Yeah.
You know that, eh?
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it. But if we let it continue to have control over our thinking and who we are, then it stops us doing the next thing. You know, one of the things for me was that we did some financial things where we went and took some risks. We went and did some businesses, and they went wrong. They didn't work. And I was determined that I was not going to let that past failure make me not take steps of faith. Because I think that's what happens to us. We make a failure. We make us say, oh, I better be careful now. And
right.
We stop. Look, if you want to do anything, you're going to have to take a step of faith.
Yeah, very good.
If God's calling you to do something and the call's real strong, it will involve taking a step of faith. It will involve getting out there where you could feel insecure.
Yeah.
See, we like it secure. Oh, just be secure. I was saying to someone the other day that when I was at university, they told us that if you didn't make your $1 million by the time you were 30, you would never do it. And the reason is that once you got to that age, you wouldn't take the risks you needed to take to get there. You become conservative. You become holding in. Look, are you taking risks? Are you walking by faith? Or if you're going into, oh, I need to be secure, I need to be careful, I need to have control of everything. It's a sign of insecurity.
Mm.
Why is it a sign of insecurity? Because you're trying to get security from the things around you.
Yeah.
And God says, don't put your trust in the things around you. Put your trust in Him.
Yeah.
Trust Him with what you're doing. Trust Him with your future. Jesus wants you to have faith in Him.
Yeah.
And you've got to forget the past. Philippians 3:12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ first possessed me.
Right.
I don't look backwards, I look forward.
Yeah.
No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Look, we've all had failures.
Yeah.
The enemy forever wants you to keep thinking you're going to make a failure and a mistake.
Yeah, that's right.
But our security is that failure doesn't define us.
Yeah.
You got to choose to say that failure doesn't define me. You're only a failure if you stop trying, I believe. If you give up. But if you get back up again, you're not a failure. The story's not over. You know, we're only halfway through for me.
Great.
50.
Great.
Halfway through. Some of you haven't even started yet.
Yeah.
You've got three quarters ahead of you.
Yeah.
Don't let the past dictate what you're going to do in the future.
So
don't be insecure. Get your security from God. Very quickly, insecurity continues to place judgment. Look, when you're insecure, you begin to judge people. If you become judgmental about everybody, it's a sign to me that you're insecure. Why is that? Because we're trying to pull people down. In our insecurity, we're trying to go, oh, they're not as good as they look, because we're trying to build security into our lives. So we keep pulling people down to try and go, I'm okay. Insecurity finds itself in constant comparing. We compare ourselves with one another. Oh, yeah, I'm not quite like them. Look, it happens in churches. It happens for pastors. Comparing churches. Oh, yeah. But what it breeds is insecurity. You got to be secure in who you are. This is who God's called me. I am where God's called me. I'm doing what God's called me to do. The results in our life, sometimes we can think, oh, these make it look like I've done well. But they don't. And if you put your security and your trust in your successes, what's going to happen when you fail? You can't put your trust in them.
Yeah.
You've got to put your trust in God.
Yeah.
Number nine, insecurity causes you to put your trust in what you have. And look, the rich run ruler couldn't leave and go do what God had called him because he was insecure. He got his security from his finances. Here's my question. What do you get your security from? If you lost everything, how would you be? Would you be depressed? Would you give up? Because all of it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Paul says, look, I've learned how to, and the key is that he'd learned how to be happy with much and with little. Why was that? Because he got his security from God. I'm secure in what God says about me and who God is. Okay, here's five quick keys for dealing with insecurity. Here's the first one. I've already told you it. First step is to identify your insecurity. Out of all those nine things, does any of them go, oh, I've got a little bit of that? Just sort of nod your head. Oh, I think I've got a couple of those. So you've identified it. Here's the key. That's the key, is to start off and go, I can see it. If we don't see it, we'll never deal with it. And it will continue to... So here's the second thing you've got to do, is you've got to confront it. You've got to admit, and you have to decide to confront it. You've got to try and identify the lie. What is the lie in my thinking? What is the lie? No matter what that lie could be, oh, I'm going to fail. That lie is, no, I'm not worth anything. What is the lie that you fight with? I can't do this. What is the lie that the enemy's sown in there? And it may came through the voice of even someone you love. Could have come through the voice of a teacher. Could have come through the voice of a parent. What's the lie? What's the thing that's holding you back? You've got to identify it. Why do you think what you do about yourself? And can you see it come out in your conversation? Because we begin to believe a lie. And if we begin to believe a lie about us, that begins to restrict us. That's what makes us insecure. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We've got to know the truth about ourselves.
Yes.
And we've got to help people see the truth about themselves.
Yes.
If we confront it, the truth is you're valuable.
Yeah.
The truth is, that's the truth. The truth is God loves you.
Yes.
The truth is you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The truth is you can face the future.
Yeah.
The truth is God is with you wherever you go. The truth is you are strong and courageous. You've got to speak the truth into yourself. You've got to speak the truth. The third thing is you've got to build God's truth into your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you don't know it, go read Psalm 139, verse 14. Write that one down. 139, verse 14. I think I've even got it up there. Let me read it to you. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. You've got to build truth into your life. That's the truth about you. It's the truth. You've got to build the truth into you. You've got to identify the lies and go, I'm not going to believe those anymore. Yeah. Other verses. For God, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. That's the truth. Yes. It's a personal, you can grab a hold of it and go, that's the truth about me. Right. For God so loved you. Yeah. Put your name in there.
Right.
It's the truth. The fourth thing is you've got to release your past. Choose to release your past. Choose to say, all right, I'm not going to let what happened in the past affect me. I'm not going to let the past dictate my future. Face it. Fifth, change your confession.
Yeah, that's good.
Change your thinking. Change your thinking, change your confession.
Yes.
Change your confession, change your thinking. What do you say about yourself? What's your self-talk? You know what your self-talk is? The talk in your mind?
Yeah.
We all have it. I think self-talk goes at something like 20 or 30,000 words per day. What's your self-talk?
Very good.
What do you tell yourself in your head? Is there another voice there? Is your mother's voice there? Don't do that! My mother's here, so I've got to be careful when I say that. Get into trouble. What's your self-talk? What's in your head? Do you tell yourself, oh, I'm no good? I can't. Is there a person that whenever you go to do something, you think about them? Oh, I wonder what they'll think. That's your self-talk.
Yeah.
You've got to change what you're thinking, change your confession. What do you say about yourself? How many negative words come about yourself? Oh, I'm no good. I'm useless. I can't do that. Oh, they're all against me. No one loves me. No one likes me. You're saying all those things, you're just speaking them over you. They're actually a lie.
Yeah, right.
And the enemy's laughing. He's going, oh, that's good. Oh, keep saying that. Come on. What's your confession? What do you say? 2 Corinthians 10:3 says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds.
Yes.
We demolish arguments. You have an argument in your head. You've got to go demolish those arguments. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Very good.
So
look, we live in a world, our battle often is in our own mind.
Yeah.
You know, people go, oh, well, isn't the battle outside? You know, if you go, oh, isn't it other things? No. A lot of the battle's up here in what you're thinking.
Yes.
Your thinking is affecting, where you go? Go right back to what I said at the start. Your thinking is either putting barriers in front of you or it's removing barriers. Your thinking. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean? That means I go, is this what Christ would say? So if I go in my head, I'm useless, is that what Christ says? He doesn't say that.
No.
I've got to take captive that thought. I've got to go, hold on. I don't recognize that thought.
Very good.
Oh, I'm going to fail. Oh, man, this pressure is going to be too much for me. I can't handle this. That's all the words of the enemy. Oh, I'm going to have a breakdown. Oh, I'm not going to cope. And look, people can speak it. Oh, you keep going like that, you're going to break down. That's not true. That's the enemy speaking. You begin to believe that? Yeah, that's what will happen. You got to believe, I can do all things through Christ.
Yes.
God's with me. Amen. God's for me. He's not against me. God's cheering for me.
Yes.
I've got to take my thoughts captive. Oh, my marriage is not going to work. That's not Christ. That's how I thought. We've got to take captive of it and make it obedient. And we will be ready to punish and act every disobedience. Okay, yep. I can do all things through Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah.
Build yourself up.
Amen.
Change that confession over yourself.
Yeah.
Grab Joshua 1. I keep saying it. Grab it.
Yeah.
Joshua 1 verse 6 and speak it over. I was saying about Joshua this morning. Joshua was not expecting to take the children of Israel into the promised land. He thought Moses would do it. And he suddenly thought, oh, I can't do this. And God speaks into him and says, you can.
Yeah.
Be strong and can. You can cope.
Yes.
You can handle this. You're called to this. You can do it. I got that little guy in there. You can do it. He's just over there. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. You can make it. Don't let the enemy make you think you can't. Musicians, if you come. I really feel where to pray for people.
Yeah.
Because I feel that when we open ourselves to God, the Holy Spirit can do it a change in a moment.
Right.
Yes, we're going to have to work through it, but I believe when we open ourselves to saying, God, I need some help here, that admission of help, it's the same as when we say to God, God, I've sinned, I need your forgiveness. It's the same when we go, God, I need some help. I need some help. I'm struggling with this. I'm fighting this. I'm having these doubts. Some of you, some of those thoughts are demonic.
Yeah.
That they're spiritual thoughts that come. The enemy is a dog. Some of them are even suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
And you need to bring them to God and say, God, I need to be set free from this. And get someone to pray for you. If we've talked about it, we're going to open the altar. And look, I just feel, I actually feel there's a lot of people need a response. I just know, because I know in my own heart, I battle insecurity. I've got to break through it. And I need someone alongside. I need someone to pray with me and go, right, I'm going to pray with you and believe God. How about we all stand up? Holy Spirit, Father, I pray right now that you would speak into our lives. Lord, help us to identify the lies that are holding us back. Some of you, as you walk up here, you're going to feel lighter. As you walk in and you take a step of faith, you're going to feel a fresh courage and a fresh lightness. Some of you, there's some words that have been spoken that have gone like darts into your back. And you feel the pain of them. God's going to take away the pain of them. He's going to bring truth. And he's going to bring healing into your spirit. Father, right now we just open ourselves to you. Speak into our lives. Bring healing, Father. Bring life. Lord, I pray bring security, Father. Bring revelation that would bring life and security. Before I invite people up, I just want to pray for anybody that doesn't know Jesus. If you're not in a relationship with God, the start of our journey to security is knowing that God loves us and having a relationship with Him. You can't put your trust in Him unless you know Him. And so right now, if you go, hey, Alan, I don't know God. I don't have a relationship with God. I've been trying to do life on my own. Why don't you say, Alan, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I need Jesus in my life tonight. And what I'll do is I'll pray a prayer where you can ask Him, You might have done it before, but you know that you're away from God and you need to get yourself right with God. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd love to know who's praying it with me. He goes, hey, I need Jesus in my life. So while everyone's got their eyes closed, if you go, Alan, that's me. I know I'm not right with God. I want to get right with God. I want to get a fresh peace in God. Fantastic. Anyone else? I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd love to include you in that prayer. Is there anybody else? So look out. You want to get yourself right with God. You want a relationship with God. You want to know forgiveness. You want to know freedom. 5 more seconds. Okay, we'll just pray for this one. In fact, if we all pray, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you accept me just the way I am. Please forgive me of all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my life and take control of my life. I ask in Jesus' name.